It's good to have the buyers with us. It's a blessing. Good to see you folks. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 18. I had a hard time. The Lord put this message on my heart, but I had a hard time having it come together. So if I'm a little choppy, I apologize. But I believe this is what the Lord wanted me to share. And I hope it makes sense this morning. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Even as I had pity on thee. I want you to notice those words. I had pity on thee. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for each one that is here today. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time in your word. Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would cause the spirit of revival to continue in our lives this morning, to continue in our hearts and souls, that we would be tender to what you have for us this morning, that we would be listening to your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that we would be willing to obey. Bless now this message. Help me as I give it, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross. Father, forgive me where I failed you in this matter. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The word pity here, I had pity on thee. This is the only place in the entire New Testament that the word pity is found. There is the word pitiful, and that's found 2 times in the New Testament. This is the only time the word pity is found in the New Testament. And that is what I want to preach on this morning, pity. You say, why am I preaching on something that is mentioned just 1 time in the New Testament? We've just had a revival. We've just had some wonderful things happen in our life, and we want that to continue. And now you're going to preach on something that is mentioned 1 time in the New Testament? Well, I'm preaching on that because outside of love itself, pity is the other human emotion that most closely reflects the divine nature of God, that most closely reflects the character of God. Would you agree with me this morning that in this parable, the master is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that what the master represents? Who the master represents? The Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, indeed. And the Lord Jesus is the one speaking those words then, if you will. I had pity on thee. It is the truth that God took pity on you and I when he saved our souls. Isaiah 63:9 says, In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence save them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. God redeemed us in love and pity. Now, this morning, we are not talking about self-pity. I am not going to be talking about self-pity. Self-pity is a self-absorbed unhappiness over one's own troubles. I'm not talking about self-pity this morning. I'm talking about just the opposite. Self-pity is kind of like what Job cried when he cried in Job 19:21, "Have pity upon me! Have pity upon me, O my friends! For the hand of God hath touched me." Now, I don't know. I'm not going to judge Job and say he shouldn't have said that. Okay? But that is the kind of pity I'm not necessarily talking about. The kind of self-pity that says, "Friends, woe is me. I'm very in need of pity." No, I'm not talking about me and my self-absorbed unhappiness over what's going on in my life. Just the opposite. This morning we are referring to a sympathy for others. A sympathy for others. My pity for other people. As in Job 6:14, "To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend." We are to be that friend that shows pity to the one afflicted. Okay, so I'm not talking about self-pity. I'm talking about God's kind of pity. God's kind of pity. God's kind of pity. Pity reflects the character of God. Turn to James chapter 5, please. James chapter 5. This is that one of those other two verses that have the word pitiful in them. James chapter 5, verse 11. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And kids, it's not saying God is a pitiful God. No, God is a God who is full of pity. Very full of pity. That's what the biblical word pitiful means. Not, "Man, you are a pitiful person." No. God is full of pity and of tender mercy. So, pity reflects the character of God. Turn back now to Matthew 18:33. In Matthew 18:33, the biblical definition of the word pity is enlarged upon. Okay, I want to talk about what the word pity means. Matthew 18 again. This is just by way of introduction, by the way. I kind of have a long introduction. Matthew 18:33. "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee?" That the word pity there in Matthew 33 is the Greek word eleeo. And as far as I know, it's pronounced L-E-E-O. And our understanding in the definition of the word is broadened by the fact that it is used twice in this verse. The Greek word is used twice in this verse. It's translated as pity at the end of the verse, but before you get to pity, it's written down one time and translated as something else. "Shouldest not thou also have had L-E-E-O, compassion. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant?" Pity. "Shouldest not thou have had pity on your fellow servants as I had pity on thee?" That's what the word pity, scripturally speaking, that's what pity means. Compassion. Compassion. Now the Greek word there has synonyms. Pity and compassion are not the only two translations of the word. In fact, there are other Greek words that also mean compassion, by the way. And every single time you see the word compassion in Scripture, it is a form of pity, except one time. If you see the word compassion, you are reading pity, except one time in the New Testament. And that occurs in James and is, not James. I forget the book that it occurs in, but it means gentleness. Only one time does compassion not mean pity, It means gentleness. So when you see this word pity, it means compassion. When you see the word compassion in the New Testament, it always can mean pity. It always means pity. They are synonyms. They mean the same thing. Not only that, our understanding of the word shouldn't stop there. The Greek word that means pity and compassion, L-E-O, means something more. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, we have the Beatitudes. And in Matthew chapter 5, 7, the Greek word is used again. E-L-E-E-O is used again. Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's the Greek word, mercy. Compassion. Pity. You know, I didn't know this until I studied this out. I have an English definition of mercy. And I think maybe some of us, if not all of us, understand mercy only in the English sense. You see, I understand when I see the word mercy, I think judgment was deserved but was not given. That's what I understand as mercy. Folks, that's the English definition of mercy. That is not the biblical definition of mercy. Mercy, every single time mercy is written in Scripture, the definition is compassion. Compassion. In the New Testament, I didn't study the Old Testament about this. Every time in the New Testament the word mercy is used, the meaning is not judgment is deserved and not given. It doesn't mean that. It means compassion. Mercy. Compassion. So I want you to know that. I want us to throw out our English understanding of mercy. It doesn't apply in scriptural terminology. When you read the Bible and you read mercy in the New Testament, you are reading compassion. Compassion. In the New Testament, biblical mercy is found only in two words. E-L-E-E-O, the one I just said. The one that means compassion or pity. The only other word that is ever used for mercy is another form of that word. E-L-E-O-S. L-E-O-S. It means compassion actively given. Active, tender mercy. Mercy is always and only synonymous with compassion. It's not judgment was deserved but not given. That's not true biblical New Testament mercy. Mercy is compassion. And that is why pity is the next closest human emotion outside of love, other than love, that is the closest human emotion to the character of God. Mercy. Mercy. Compassion. In a nutshell, folks, pity is synonymous with these words. Compassion, tender-hearted. Mercy, merciful, and tender mercies. The word pity appears way more times in the New Testament than one time. But you don't read it that way. You read it as compassion, tender-hearted, mercy, merciful, and tender mercies. So that's why it's important to have this kind of a message preached, because it is a very, very important emotion. We are to have compassion. We are to have mercy. Now that's the introduction. That's what I want you to understand about pity. It means compassion. It means mercy. Now I want us to go back to Matthew 18. That's the introduction. In Matthew 18:33, God says, I had pity on thee. I had compassion on thee. God says, I had mercy on thee. Now, knowing what that means, go please to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Knowing that God says that to you this morning, I want to include another passage of Scripture. God says to you and to me, I had pity on thee. I had compassion on thee. I had mercy on thee. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. He had no pity. The second thing I want you to hear this morning, the first thing is, God says to you, I had pity on you. I had pity on thee. And the second thing is that I want us to hear this morning, God says he had no pity. He had no pity. We can look around and ask, who are we talking about? Who could it be this morning that had no pity? And the Word of God answers that. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. There isn't a need to look around. God says, Thou art the man. Thou art the woman that had no pity. Notice, please, there is now a lamb missing. There is a man who is missing a lamb. An innocent one, because there was another man who had no pity. I wonder this morning if there are some lambs or some sheep missing that are simply not here today because thou art the man. Because someone had no pity. Because someone had no pity. When did I not have pity? God is not looking at just one specific time in my life or yours. He's looking at our entire life. He has weighed you and I in His balance and has found us to be wanting. You and I could be holding up one example or two examples to God in our hearts right now, saying, Right here, Lord, in this instance, what are you saying? I had no way. I had pity in this specific instance. I had mercy in that situation. Lord, what are you talking about? I had no pity. And God's response is, that's terrific, Derek, that you had pity that time. What about all the other times? What about all the other times when I gave you an opportunity to show someone mercy? When God says, Thou art the man, He is looking at every instance in my life. Not just those ones where I did the right thing. He's looking at all those where I had no pity. And I turned and I walked away. Thou art the man. How did I not show mercy? You don't have to turn there, but you can write these down. How did I not show mercy? Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he, the Lord, pay him again. God says, thou art the man that had no pity on that poor man. Thou art the man that had no pity on that poor man. Perhaps today there is a sheep missing from our midst, a poor sheep, because I had no pity. How did I not show mercy? Dear God, you said that I am the man. How did I not show mercy? 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Perhaps there's a sheep missing today, a poor sheep is not here today because I had no pity. How did I not show mercy? Psalm 69:20. Reproach. Perhaps there was someone who had this cry. Perhaps there was someone that God put before me, that God put before you, that had this cry. Psalm 69:20. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. You see, thou art the man, Derek, that had no pity on that broken heart. Maybe there is a lamb missing from our midst today who has a broken heart. And they're gone because someone had no pity. How did I not show pity? How did I not show mercy, God? Job 6:14. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. But he, that friend, forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. Perhaps there was an afflicted person that God put in my way, and I just turned away. I did not hear their heart cry, perhaps. I did not see their need, or perhaps I just didn't care. Thou art the man that had no pity on that afflicted one. Could there be a damaged and bleeding lamb out there, an afflicted one who's not here today because someone had no pity? Lord, how did I not show mercy? How was I the man? Jonah 4:10-11. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 people? Matthew 9:37 says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Perhaps I am the man because I had no pity for the lost. And I was not one of those laborers that went out to the field. Thou art the man. What a horrible, horrible tragedy and a horrible responsibility. When I stand before God, when you stand before God, and we find out that one single person never heard about Jesus Christ and must spend their eternity in a lake of fire because I had no pity. Is there a sheep missing from this room today? A lost sheep? Could it be that this room could be filled if someone had pity? I want to turn that question around. How many of us are here today because someone else took pity and told me about Jesus Christ? Pretty sure we're all here this morning because someone told you or your parent about Jesus Christ. Someone did have pity. The sheep that are here today are here because, yes, there was someone that took pity. And the empty pews are caused by Christians that had no pity. That's the unspoken answer there, which I just spoke. How did I not show mercy? Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Go back to Matthew 18:33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion, pity, mercy, even as I had pity on thee? Where would you be, Christian, without God's compassion poured out on you? Where would you be? Seriously, I want you to think about it. I want you to consider, where would you be? In what situation would you be today if God had not showed mercy to you? If you were saved later in life, older Christians, if you were saved later in life, look at what God took you out of and where God has brought you. And where God is going to take you one day, compared to where you were before you were saved. Young people, if you were saved early in life, if you've grown up in church and you were saved as a young person, as a child, I want you to consider what God saved you from. What God saved you from. The devastating effects of sin God protected you from because He saved you at an early age. Consider, young person, what your life would be like today if sin had been allowed to rule in your life instead of the grace of Jesus Christ. Where would you be right now? What would your life look like right now? Someone had pity on you. God had pity on you. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion, even as I had pity on thee? Finally, I'd like all of us to consider the final outcome of where you and I would have spent eternity but for the grace and mercy, pity of God. Isaiah again says, in His love and in His pity, He redeemed them. And shouldest not thou have compassion, even as I had pity on thee? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'd like